From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily. Today, early in his presidency, Donald Trump called for a federal commission to investigate an issue that was personal for him, voter fraud in the 2016 election. Now, that commission is requesting data on 200 million American voters, and the states are fighting back. It's Monday, July 17th. Michael Wines, why does Donald Trump say he lost the popular vote?
He believes it was stolen.
The winner, who came in second, tweeted, "In addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally."
He says that there were at least 3 million, possibly more, illegal voters.
Serious voter fraud in Virginia, New Hampshire, and California. So why isn't the media reporting on this? Serious bias, big problem.
You look at the dead people that are registered to vote, who vote. You look at people that are registered in two states.
He alludes that many of them probably were undocumented immigrants.
Of those votes cast, none of them come to me. None of them come to me. They would all be for the other side. None of them come to me.
And he thinks that they all voted for Hillary Clinton.
Millions of people agree with me when I say that.
And is there any evidence of that?
No, there's not a shred of evidence.
And how do you know that?
Well, firstly, because I think most experts would say it would be virtually impossible to conceal 3 million illegal votes. But I called up 49 of the 50 states.
Wow.
Dealt with election officials in each of the states asking how much fraud they had found.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, they either found no fraud whatsoever or very, very small numbers of accusations of fraud.
How long does it take to call 49 states?
It took me about 5 days. And one of them, New Jersey, I could never get through to the state official, so I wound up calling every county in New Jersey.
So that was the 50th state?
Yeah.
But no election fraud in that state of New Jersey either.
Out of all the counties I called, there wasn't a single case.
So what happens, despite everything you just told me, once Donald Trump becomes president?
Well, he gets into office, and he was concerned from the very start about the legitimacy of his victory. He kept complaining that he hadn't won the popular vote, and so eventually he said, "I'm going to set up a commission to look into voter fraud, election integrity, and to make sure that everything's straight."
So who leads this commission?
Well, officially it's headed by Vice President Pence. The de facto head is a fellow named Kris Kobach, who is the Secretary of State of Kansas.
What do we need to know about Kris Kobach? Who exactly is he?
Mr. Kobach is a dyed-in-the-wool Republican. He has established himself, I think, as probably the leading advocate of strict laws governing who can and cannot be allowed to register to vote or to cast ballots. He's a very strong proponent of the idea that voter fraud in this country is rampant. And in fact, like the president, he has said that it's entirely plausible that Donald Trump's victory in the popular vote was stolen from him.
And as best we can tell, you've been looking at this subject and at Kris Kobach for many months. Where do his views on voter fraud come from?
Probably a couple of places. I think that they are rooted in his dedication to another idea, which is that immigration in this country has been counterproductive.
KCMO Talk Radio 710.
Has he said that? Has he articulated that?
He has.
He's the ACLU's worst nightmare because he knows the Constitution and fights to keep them from making confetti of it. He's Kris Kobach, and this is the Kris Kobach Show.
On a radio show that he hosted.
You know, what protects us in America from any kind of ethnic cleansing is the rule of law, of course. And the rule of law used to be unassailable, used to be taken for granted in America. And now, of course, we have a president who disregards the law when it suits his interests. And so, you know, while I normally would answer that by saying, "Steve, you know, of course we have the rule of law, that could never happen in America," I wonder what can happen. I still don't think it's going to happen in America, but I have to admit that things are strange and they're happening.
Mr. Kobach was always a conservative and a very well-educated man. He went to Harvard. He then went to Oxford. He went to Yale Law School. And during those studies, one of his professors was a gentleman named Samuel Huntington, the author of what was a very controversial book at the time called The Clash of Civilizations, that essentially argued that American culture was besieged primarily by Latino immigrants.
And how did this politics of Chris Kobach's that seemed very skeptical of immigration and anxious about what it could do to the United States, how did that evolve into the issue of voter fraud for which he's now known?
Well, I think when you're running for Secretary of State in any state, voting is one of the central responsibilities of a Secretary of State. In most states, it's the Secretary of State who is in charge of election oversight. And so it was to his political advantage, as it would be for any candidate for Secretary of State, to make election security an issue.
Help me connect the dots here. How do views about immigration link with voter fraud?
Well, in Kansas, Mr. Kobach has made the argument that fraud, particularly by undocumented immigrants or by foreigners who are not supposed to vote, maybe here illegally but aren't supposed to vote, that this is one of the major causes of voter fraud in Kansas. And he has sort of knitted the idea of undocumented immigration, foreigners, and voting into a single theory.
And then what is the single theory that weaves these elements together?
It's what Mr. Trump espoused, that we have potentially millions of undocumented people in this country who are nevertheless managing to vote, and they're swaying the elections.
Okay. So what has Chris Kobach done about this issue of voter fraud as Secretary of State of Kansas?
He's been very active. He managed to persuade the state to pass a very unusual law. It was called SAFE, which essentially required that anybody registering to vote in Kansas produce proof of citizenship, a birth certificate, a passport, naturalization papers. That law was passed in 2011.
So before that law was passed, if you wanted to register to vote and then vote in Kansas, what was different?
Well, in Kansas, as in most every other state in the country, when you register to vote, you sign an affidavit. Usually you tick off a box which says, I swear under penalty of perjury that I am a citizen of the United States. And if you're lying about that, you can be brought to trial and put in jail. So most people think that that's a pretty strong deterrent against misrepresenting yourself.
Hi, thank you for calling the Concordia Automart. Please press 1 for the service center or press 2 for the sales department. Concordia Automart, this is Elaine.
Hey, I'm trying. Oh, this is Elaine. Is this
Elaine.
Senator Bowers?
It is Michael. Yes.
How are you?
I am fine. So I'm going to hop in the back room.
Sure.
It's private. And I'll put you on hold and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, just a sec.
In addition to owning a car dealership, Elaine Bowers is also a Republican state senator in Kansas. She supports the SAFE Act and its voter ID requirements, but not because she thinks voter fraud is a significant problem in Kansas. What convinced you that this was a bill worth voting for?
Well, there was no reason to vote against it, to tell you the truth. It was common sense. It's just something that we're used to carrying with us.
Got it.
And we have our wallets or purses with us when we go to vote. Anyhow, you don't buy a car without showing your ID. We can't get a library card without our ID. We can't board a plane. To me, that is proving who you are. You're a U.S. citizen, and it's as simple as that. It is our duty as a citizen showing ID to prove who we are and where we come from. It works here in Kansas.
You know, a lot of listeners don't get to hear from local lawmakers. And there are those who think that there's just not enough evidence of voter fraud to pass laws like this, and that they see it as an attempt to keep certain people from voting, in particular, lower-income people, minorities. What do you say to those as somebody who has voted for one of these bills and who knows what it means to represent people in Kansas?
That was mentioned, I do recall that, in the bill discussion. And as far as I worry about that, I think you have a duty as a U.S. citizen to vote. It's the biggest duty, I believe. And if voting is important to you, you will have an ID somehow.
Michael, what's been the effect of the SAFE Act in Kansas since it was passed by the legislature?
Well, it's been under consistent legal assault ever since it was enacted. He was promptly sued, and in fact, he's been sued four times by the ACLU over aspects of this law. So parts of it have been overturned or stayed. The other impact was that, in the word of one judge, thousands of people who had tried to register to vote in Kansas were not allowed to register because they didn't have the documents that they needed.
So folks who wanted to register legally found themselves turned away.
That's right.
What exactly is the argument against a law like the one in Kansas that Chris Kobach pushed for that asks people to provide just a basic piece of identification? Because the argument that you hear from supporters of the law is we need ID to get on a plane, we need ID to get into a bar, why not have an ID for something as sacred as the ballot box?
Well, the critics of this say that driving a car or going into a bar is not a constitutional right. Mm-hmm. It's a privilege, and there's a difference. And you don't put restrictions on constitutional rights to the extent that you can avoid them. Some people are disproportionately affected. And just to give you an example, in North Carolina, where a very extensive set of restrictions on voting was struck down late last year, the North Carolina law, which required people to produce a driver's license and some other forms of identification, limited forms, was enacted after the state legislature that was drafting the law requested racial data on who had a driver's license. And the racial data showed that African Americans were disproportionately unlikely to have a driver's license, and so that was made a requirement in order to vote.
So you're suggesting that in a place like that, there was a deliberate attempt to craft a law that would make it harder for a specific group of people, in that case African Americans, to register to vote and vote.
I'm not saying it. The Federal Court of Appeals said it. They said, in fact, that that law was crafted, as they put it, with almost surgical precision to discourage voting by African Americans. The Republican legislature that drafted the law has denied that, but in any case says, look, we are not discriminating against black people. We simply don't want Democrats to vote.
Michael, has Chris Kobach been effective through this law and his various efforts in finding cases of voter fraud in Kansas?
He has alleged to have turned up something like 125 instances of foreigners who were either registered to vote or had cast ballots. Mm-hmm. I think so far, since 2011, he actually has prosecuted nine people. I know that at least some of those people have made the argument that they were simply confused.
So, Senator, what have voters in your district said about this issue of voting fraud, voter ID, and kind of the security of our voting system?
Well, really, they believe there's other issues that are more important, like our taxes, our budget. This is not something we talk about a lot. This is not national news to us back here. And this is just a non-issue when we talk about this out in rural America.
So I just want to make sure I understand something. Kansas is now at the forefront, though, of voter ID laws and what many consider to be strict voter ID laws after that law in 2011. So how can we make sense of that discrepancy, which it kind of feels like it might be, that there's not so much anxiety about it in many districts, but Kansas is a leader in this kind of a change?
Well, that would be our Secretary of State looking for voter fraud. So our Secretary believes there is voter fraud, not only in Kansas, but across the nation. But that's something he is looking for, where us out in the real world of Kansas, this is not something that we think about that much.
Michael, I want to talk about how what Chris Kobach did in Kansas connects back to the president's commission he's now leading. What's the commission done so far?
Not a lot. It hasn't had a formal meeting yet, although it did have a telephone session. I think the first meeting is on July 19th. What it has done is to send out a letter to all 50 states requesting that they turn over their voter rolls and a cache of related data, including partial social security numbers, felony records, and other personal or semi-personal information. They have essentially asked for the data on 200 million voters in this country to be turned over to the commission so that they can do analysis of it.
The commission has asked for social security numbers?
It's asked for the last four digits of social security numbers.
Why?
Well, because if you have, for instance, the last four digits of social security numbers, you can run a voter list against a social security database and find out who is where and whether they're qualified to vote.
And to what end? What do they hope to find?
In general, it's a hunt for the fraud that they say exists.
And what have been the responses from the states?
There has been a bipartisan resistance to this on the part of state election officials. Democrats have denounced it because Democrats argue that this panel is stacked from the very beginning. Many Democratic secretaries of state have simply said, we're not going to cooperate, period. There has also been Republican opposition, and some of them simply have been upfront about rejecting it. The Secretary of State of Mississippi said that he would tell the commission members to go jump into the Gulf of Mexico.
So presumably that Secretary of State and others are not providing the requested information.
That's right.
What about Kansas? What is it doing?
Well, it's sort of ironic. Kansas is providing all of the information except Social Security numbers, which, as Mr. Kobach has said, he can't provide because state law won't let him.
So the Secretary of State of Kansas, Chris Kobach, can't convince or allow his own state to fulfill the request he's asked of 50 states around the country.
That's right. And it's been an item of some confusion to those of us who watch this because, you know, Chris Kobach is a very smart man. And as Secretary of State, if he knows anything, he knows election law. And a lot of people don't have a clear idea why he would ask the states to provide information that clearly he knew they were unable to provide.
What do you make of the fact that President Trump chose Chris Kobach to lead this commission on voter fraud? What does that tell us?
President Trump appears to sincerely believe that he was cheated of the popular vote. And I think that he has appointed a commission that has people on it also believe that voter fraud is a huge problem. And critics of this commission say that it's basically stacked to produce a result that will favor the president no matter what the evidence turns up.
So the SAFE Act, something like what happened in Kansas, could become national federal policy if the president and Chris Kobach and this commission get it there.
I think that, you know, the notion that voter fraud is persistent and undetected and needs to be reined in is right now a Republican article of faith, not just with Mr. Kobach. And now that Republicans control the Congress, I think there are many people who feel they wouldn't be surprised at all if the commission comes out with recommendations to that effect, that a law would be introduced.
Michael Wines, thank you very much for this.
Pleasure to be here.
Last Friday was the deadline for state election officials to provide the personal records of their voters to Kobach's team. But after the intense backlash from those officials, and after three lawsuits were filed last week by civil rights groups, the commission has told states to hold off for now on sending the data. We'll be right back. Here's what else you need to know today. Senate Republicans say they are delaying this week's scheduled vote on the health care bill because Senator John McCain is recovering from surgery to remove a blood clot above his left eye. Without McCain, Republicans do not have the 50 votes they need, with Senators Susan Collins and Rand Paul already having said they will oppose the bill in its current form.
The longer the bill's out there, the more conservative Republicans are going to discover that it's not repeal.
Senator Paul, who has criticized the bill for leaving too much of the Affordable Care Act in place, now predicts that the delay will give conservatives like him more time to organize against it.
I think it's absolutely wrong. It's not at all consistent with conservative principles, free market principles, or being a Republican. It also has nothing to do with repeal.
And
we saw her change putters this week, and it's working thus far.
President Trump hosted the U.S. Women's Open at his golf club in New Jersey this weekend.
Right in the middle. That's a good putt there, two under early.
And sent out a flurry of tweets from there, defending his son Don Jr. over his meeting with a Russian lawyer. In between those tweets, the president thanked people who had turned out to cheer for him at the tournament. Thank you to all the supporters who far outnumbered the protesters yesterday at the Women's U.S. Open, President Trump tweeted. Very cool.
Folks, we've still got play going on. If we could please keep noise to a minimum, please.
What the heck with that?
That's it for The Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. See you tomorrow.